This morning, of course, we're going to carry on with our core values. And Andrew introduced it last week when he was talking about the vine and being connected as a branch to God. We want to continue that connection through the talks that we're going to be doing over these next few weeks of the series of the core values of OCF as we share these. This morning, if you've got your books or your tablets or whatever else you bring these days, we're looking at Acts 1, verses 6 to 14. And it says this: "So when they came to the Lord together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed his authority, but you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit when it comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, until the end of earth.' And when he had said these things, they were looking on as he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, and he went, behold, two men stood behind them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who's taken from you into heaven will come again the same way as you saw him go into heaven.' Then they returned into Jerusalem, to the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord, they were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers." You know, when I look at these mission statement that we've got, the habitation of God within us, the core values that we're looking at over the next coming weeks, I'm very much reminded of how the disciples actually lived their lives. They had very different personalities amongst them all. They had very different giftings. They had very different callings. They probably heckled with each other. They probably rubbed each other the wrong way sometimes. They got on with each other. They loved each other. They agreed and they disagreed, just like any church would. Yet, they had one thing in common. The way they lived their lives, especially having been filled with the Holy Spirit after Pentecost, this was a way of life to them. Their daily and regular practices we're looking at is how they lived. When you read through the book of Acts and how they were. Because they allowed the habitation of God's presence to dwell within them through the Holy Spirit, they were challenged, they were transformed, and they were empowered. These practices allow them to try to mirror Jesus in their way of life. God's presence enabled them to boldly take the gospel message where no gospel message had been before. They had the power to heal the sick, not just physically, but spiritually, as they brought people into the fellowship of Jesus. And here they saw their numbers grow daily. And this is what OCF is intentionally striving to do. Now, Andrew talked last week about the vine, about being connected, abiding in him, remaining in him. Because without that true connection to God, our way of life becomes fruitless. Our practices become dry, and we become unproductive for God's kingdom. Yet, like everything Jesus says and does, there's more to it when you first read it. See, as branches connected to the vine, we become extensions and a manifestation of Jesus. In other words, we become an expression of, a likeness of, and a revelation of Jesus. And by God's amazing grace, we are invited to partner with him, to participate with him, to impact the community around us. The production of and the fruitfulness of God's kingdom is to grow it with him, for him, and to make sure people know about him. You see, Almighty God could do it all by himself. But he chooses sinners like you and me to participate in his plans to grow the kingdom. Yet the key to be fruitful with him is to be connected to him. And yet through this connection, you will want to be part of a church. You will want to regularly focus on God. You will understand the Bible more. And you will know what to pray for. See, this morning we're looking at spending time in prayer. It's first on the list. It's not an accident, it's there. You see, if we're invited by grace to participate in growing God's kingdom with him, how do we know how to do it? How do you know what God plans how to do it? How do we know God's plans for us individually, as a church, and the community around us, unless we communicate with him, and more importantly, allow God to communicate with us? And this is done by prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. And that's all prayer is. It's a communication between two parties. And yet somehow we seem to complicate it so much. Matthew 6:7 says this. I should read it. You don't have to turn to it. Matthew 6, but starting at verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Verse 7 says, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you want to ask him, and pray like this. And he goes on to teach them the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer really is a blueprint of how we pray, or how we should pray. It puts God first, and everything else comes afterwards. It's simple, it's precise, and it's to the point. And I love the Lord's Prayer. See, I just pray it anyway. Why fix it if it ain't broke? It's such a powerful prayer. And in fact, it's the prayer I pray most days on my own. I don't need any other prayer sometimes because it's so powerful. See, Jesus is teaching us that our prayers, like sermons, don't have to be long, don't have to be loud, don't have to be laboured, don't have to be complicated. Like any conversation, it's simple, it's frequent, and it's how we best connect with God. And we would do it with each other, don't we? We have simple, easy conversations at ease with each other. We don't complicate our conversations with each other. We don't labour it. We just talk naturally to each other. And that's how we should treat God in our prayers. We need to avoid it becoming a ritual and a tick box exercise, like the hypocrites and the Gentiles are doing. It needs to become diverse, constant, a relational thing, just like any fruitful conversation is. You see, the only problem is our prayers, our conversation with God, become a one-way street if we're not careful. We come with our shopping list of this and that. We want this and we want that, and can you help me with this and can you help me with that? And poor God can't get a word in edgeways. Because that's where the real power comes from, when we actually do it the other way and listen to him and what he needs to say to us. See, sometimes we need to keep this shut and open these, because that's when the conversation really has power. And those people listening, like I said, keep your mouth shut and your ears open, because that's when God can really speak to us. If we are to truly connect with him, allow him to speak into our lives. You don't need a special place to pray, and you don't need a special place to connect with him. You just need to allow God to converse, to reveal his heart's plans for us, our church, and our community. You see, I can pray for 30 seconds as I walk out the back door to start my day. I can pray for 10 minutes while I walk the dog at lunchtime. I can pray for 2 minutes before I start reading my Bible in an afternoon. I can go to the prayer meeting on a Wednesday night and have group prayer. I can have half an hour of silence and solitude and prayer with Wendy goes to bed at night. Then again, I can go all day without praying at all, sometimes. And funnily enough, those are the days when I really struggle. Those are the days when I struggle with temptation. I struggle to see God's perspective on my troubles. I struggle to be fruitful for his kingdom. See, there's no coincidence that spending time in prayer is the first daily practice. It's there because it underpins absolutely everything else we do. If prayer is not first on your list, get it there. Because without prayer, everything else will not follow. See, the disciples saw the very importance of prayer. They saw Jesus pray on many occasions. He prayed before he healed. He prayed before he made signs and wonders. He prayed for the community of Jerusalem. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed before he went to the cross. Jesus prayed, Jesus prayed, Jesus prayed. Jesus was totally connected, like a branch to the vine, to his Father, through prayer. See, the disciples' future to them was totally unknown. They're still thinking that Israel is going to be restored, as we've just read. They weren't to know the seasons and the times of the Father's heart. They'd been promised the Holy Spirit. But what was that really going to feel like for them? They were to be witnesses in Jerusalem and beyond. But what would that look like? They were told to wait. Wait. How many days was it really going to be? Whether there was an air of excitement or trepidation in that upper room, the one thing they did was devote themselves to prayer. They knew spending time in prayer underpinned everything before they did anything. They knew that connecting with God was the only way they would be able to fulfill and be fruitful for what Jesus was about to call them to do, despite what really, truly they were involved in. You see, here in OCF, we find ourselves with many unknowns. We don't know God's seasons and times for us. When will he reveal his plans to us? Only when God says so. We've got the building to look at. How will the pandemic impact us as how we do church? What about our finances now? How do we affect our community? Will our numbers be affected? How many people are actually committed to these core values and our mission statement? See, like the disciples, we all have very different personalities, different giftings, different callings. But one thing we have in common is to pray. and we should pray. And we should pray. And we should pray. Because it will underpin everything else that happens to us as a church and a fellowship. How many times do we hear on the news when people say, if only they let us know? It's usually a travesty, isn't it? Or a disruption with something or other. And they interview these people and they say, if only they let me know the train wasn't coming. If they only let me know that my aeroplane was cancelled. If only they let me know where we're going next. They'll sit there with no direction at all, completely lost, completely frustrated, people not talking to them. How many people do you hear say, when they've got personal issues and problems, that they can actually deal with it once they know what the problem is? And it's the unknown that actually gets them more frustrated and upset. In businesses, this drives me absolutely nuts, I don't know about you. The number of surveys they send through. What did you think of your delivery? What did you think of our business? What do you think of this? I haven't got time. I'm busy. Go away. I practice my French sometimes with it. Yes, quite. But they want to know. They want communication. They want to know how they think of us. Employees find their employees perform so much better when they're communicated properly from the top and they know what they're doing. They become a team. And even in church itself, good communication is vital. I remember some years ago we were asked, we had 10 things on the list, of what you think church would be, what's the top thing? And everybody said communication was the key. Communication was the key to running a good church. And thankfully, we've got a fantastic leadership that does just that, don't they? And a Chris who actually brings it forward to us in a sensible way so we can understand it. But that's how church should be. We spend hours on text, don't we? WhatsApp, Twitter face, FaceAche, or whatever else they call it. Instagram. But what about prayer? How much time do we honestly spend in prayer when we look at how much social media we spend time on? It's vital we spend time in prayer. Spending time in prayer connects us to God. This is what Adi was talking about this morning. That connection, that reconnection. Whatever it takes, we need to connect with God like that branch. Because that connection challenges us. And that connection transforms us. And that connection then empowers us to become more like Jesus. And therefore we become fruitful for God's kingdom. We don't know what the future holds. And thankfully I don't really want to sometimes. But by God's grace, we'll be called to partner with him to get going and growing God's kingdom here on earth. We won't know what it involves, but by devoting ourselves in prayer and by staying connected to God, we become that habitation of God to dwell in, allowing God to reveal his plans to us, whether that's individually, corporately, and impacting the community around us. Daily regular practices. Now some will come natural to you. For me, prayer in the Bible is no problem. We'll struggle with. Now I'm going to really struggle with fasting and Sabbath. I like my food. And I find it very difficult to rest with a 7-day job. But I want to be challenged by it. I'm not just give up because I don't think I can do it. I'm not just going to push those to one side. But it's okay, whatever you struggle with and whatever comes natural to you. It doesn't mean you don't try it. See, the clue is in the title. Practice. Daily practice, regular practice. Practice, practice, practice. That's what you need to do. It won't come naturally all the time, But when you spend time practicing these daily and regular practices, they will hopefully become part of just your way of life, your daily living, the way you do. Through his grace, his presence within us, through spending time in prayer, he will guide you individually and hopefully as a church. But we need to spend that time in prayer, because if we don't, it won't underpin every other core value we're looking at this church. Let's pray.